Choice Tunes, every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2pm, with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Unfortunately, due to a couple of computer problem at the moment, we don't have any news. We'll just get straight into it. Welcome back to this time. We change the pace from Community Connections down to Choice Tunes, and you know what we do there? We get a leader or somebody that's involved in the community to come in. First of all, we find out how they, where they've been, what they've done to get to where they are now, and then we'll tell you what they're doing and how they came about it or why they're doing what they're doing. So I did have Pip LeBond in quite a few months ago. She's the office manager down at the 1812 Theatre Company in Ferdry Gully. It's a non-profit organisation. They put on some terrific plays. But I thought we'd also go to the big chief, the chairman of the board. You can't get any higher than the chairman of the board. Now, a lot of you may not know who the board is or anything like that, but this person has also been an actor. So we're going to work our way through to find out what got them on stage and what got them involved. So it's my absolute pleasure to invite Ian Johnson, the chairman of the board at 1812, to join us. Welcome, Ian.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Pleasure to be here, mate.
That's great. Ian, we're going to wind up where you wound up and how you got there. But first of all, we like to know a bit about the people that are running organisations through the Yarra Valley and just outside it. Ian, whereabouts were you born?
I was actually born in the UK in a town called Wolverhampton.
And at what stage of your life did you come out to Australia?
I came out when I was 2 years old. So I think I heard an interview once from Bob Hope, who left the UK when he was three, and he said he made the decision at three because his career wasn't taking off the way he expected it to. So I can kind of sort of like hitch my wagon to that. But no, my parents were, I guess, one of a lot of people in the 60s who decided to move to Australia for a new life.
And the 10-pound pub?
Yeah. Well, actually, it started off that way. They ended up going back three times before they decided that their life was better suited in Australia. But the first time was under that immigration scheme, and I was two, so that was the first time I came here.
So when you got off the boat, where did you all wind up?
We ended up in a hostel yep. group. I can't actually remember exactly where it was. Like, being two, I don't have a great memory of that.
I think there was one at Ashburton and there, Footscray. There were quite a number of them.
Yeah, I think it was out this way somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it was, but I guess that's kind of like your their first social entry, because a lot of people there were sort of were proms as well, and so you sort of started off with a bit of an English community there. But
then where did you go? Well, like, your parents didn't stay in the hostel for too long. Where did they eventually? Where did they take you?
So we ended up moving out to Lilydale and Moorbark and living in that kind of area. Yeah. I think we stayed here until I was about five, and then they decided that I think the lure of your family and your friends still being on the other side of the world is a powerful pull, and so they went back there and then realised that.
But for how long?
I went back there for about a year and a half.
Yep.
And realised that the memory in their head of what life was like
was good
didn't quite match the reality of it. So yep. So the way they came back. Stayed here another few years. I think we ended up going back when I was about seven, and then came back for another few years, and the last time I was about 12. So those kind of three times of going back.
And eventually they stayed here?
Yeah, well, the last time they actually tried something different. So they went to Perth and we stayed there for 8 years. And after that time, I was just 20 and they decided that they were going to come back and make the move back to Melbourne. I said, that's really nice, but I'm kind of enjoying it in Perth, so have a good life. And they said to me, why don't you come for a working holiday? And I thought, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. And I've never gone back.
All right, Ian, we don't worry about school because everybody went to school or uni or whatever they did. So what was your first part-time job? Did you have a job while you were at school, a part-time job?
I did. Actually, I had a job shortly after I left in Perth before we came over to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I was working in a bottle shop. I know you're going to find that really hard to believe.
I find that really hard to believe. All right, so what was your first full-time job?
My first full-time job was in also in Perth. I worked for about 3 months before we moved back to Melbourne in a toy shop.
Just selling in the toy shop?
Yeah, so basically my role was just more of like a storeman, basically. So just, you know, bringing the stock out and putting on the shelves and that. It was like a little family-owned business. So it was a good introduction to the real world, I guess, after being in school. So
so when you came back here, what was your first full-time job when you came back to Victoria?
I was a night filler at a local Woolworths. Supermarket. So it kind of worked well for me because I'm like a night person. Anything before about 11 a.m. is kind of early for me. So so starting work at 10 o'clock at night and working through until 4 or 5 in the morning seemed like a really good thing. So
all right, let's get started on these songs. Peter, Paul and Mary, Leaving on a Jet Plane. I can probably gather why you put that in, but what was that in there, Ian?
Basically, in those days when my parents moved backwards and forwards and had that, I guess, that lure between, you know, home and where they had a better life. I can remember my mother playing this song, and I can remember her being, you know, so happy about the, you know, opportunity of the travel and the new life and the excitement. I'm sure she played a lot of other songs, but for whatever reason, this is the one that stuck in my head.
All right, let's play it.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. Taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. So many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing for you. When I come back, I'll wear your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes, I'll be on my way. Dream. about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone, about the time I won't have to say, kiss me and smile for me, tell me. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
All right, Ian, so now you're over here, you're doing night fill and you like the night stuff. So what was your next job after that?
So I went to work for Telstra. I went to work for Telstra in a few different roles, but probably the one that sort of sticks out the most was like a contact centre where Telstra's largest corporations had this separate like number that they rang to support any issues. So I worked in there for a number of years. And then I left that and I went to work for a company mainly known in Australia, or they were, for like white goods and things, a Japanese company called NEC.
Oh, yeah, know them, yep.
Yeah, yeah, but the area I went to work for did all the corporate telecommunications, and I started that basically answering the phone when people rang up with a complaint.
Yep.
And then I was lucky that they helped me on a career path. I spent time in 3 years in marketing. I spent time as a business development manager. I spent time doing services development where you wrapped support packages around technical solutions, and I ended up running their services business for a number of years before I left there. So it was like an education for me.
Oh, that's terrific. So what are you currently doing then, Ian?
So I work for an Australian, I was going to say startup, but they're a little larger now to call a startup. They're about 450 people, a software company called Ciara. And they do customer experience testing. So that might be a long thing to explain what that is.
Yeah. But so it's not in the communications area now, or?
No, it's more of a, they're more of a software company than the software ensures that when, you know, when you dial into a large corporation that you actually get the area that you're calling, and that the voice quality is good, and that there's no crackle, and you know, they make sure the experience that you get moving dialing into this company is what they want to provide. So it's it's more around that.
All right, ACDC, Dirty Works. Are we playing someone back here, or what's what's that about?
This is when we moved over back from before we went to Perth. I lived in Millgrove, and I went to the local school there. And I think when
Michael Boy.
Yeah, yeah. And when I went there, my cousins also moved in, and there was like four of us, and there was enough for them to hire another teacher. So it was I kind of always remember that. And this was popular at the time, and it just seemed so cool then, and it's one thing that's stuck in my mind. Maybe not so cool now, but anyway.
Let's listen to it. Station sponsor.
Having trouble with the high school head. He's the Jeep.
Concrete tube.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes. I have with me Ian Johnson, and some of you might not know Ian, but he's a chairman of the board down at the 1812 Theatre Company down in Upper Ferntree Gully, and I know a lot of the listeners up here go to 1812, so I thought it'd be obviously to get him in to hear about, because his influence as to how he became the chairman of 1812. Ian, somewhere along the line you met Justine, which is your wife. How did you meet her?
Well, that goes back to when I was working at NEC, and NEC at the time had two locations. They had one on Springbow Road in Mulgrave, and they had another one which was at Brandon Office Park. And in between those two salubrious locations was the Village Green, which was perhaps
I remember that.
slightly less salubrious
well,
location.
Well, let's just stop there for a minute, because I actually had my wedding reception at Village Green. But that was a long while ago.
I think by the time it was between the two NEC buildings, it had sticky carpets and from spilt beer and all that kind of thing.
Went downhill.
Anyway, it was the it was like the go-to place on Friday night after work.
Yep.
I went there one Friday night and she was there. So unfortunately, she, not that that's a huge story, but she hates me telling it at all, because she doesn't like to people to know that we met at the Village.
Met at the pub.
Exactly.
All right, Ian, we'll take one more break, because I now want to start to talk about 1812. Rod Stewart and sailing, why?
So when we were in Perth, when we lived in Perth, we'd come over from the UK, as I said, three times. A couple of those times was by ship, and I kind of got an affiliation for the sea and for large ships, and my dad used to drive me down to Fremantle over there periodically so I could watch the ships come in, and this just reminds me of that.
Let's listen.
Thank you.
I'm talking to Ian Johnson with me on Choice Tunes, and he's the chairman of the board down 1812 Theatre. We've heard a lot about his corporate ventures, and we're going to give that a bit of a miss now because we're quite keen. Obviously, the first way you got into theatre was as an actor. Well, I think we might take your next song, The Eagles and Hotel California. Why?
So basically, that reminds me of when I lived in Perth and when we moved over to Melbourne, and I went back a couple of times for holidays and driving across the Nullarbor, and it just reminds me of that desolation that I know Hotel California is about more the Mojave Desert in the US, but it's kind of had that same feel for me.
Now, I'm not sure what's happened there because we have had a bit of a problem with the computer. Hang on. We want to pause this. All right, Ian, I'm really sorry for this. We've had something go wrong with the computer. Bon Jovi, wanted dead or alive. Why?
Why? I think that was the first song I remember hearing when my family moved from Perth to Melbourne. And we were living in Roville. And that's just a song that, for some reason, has stuck in the memory. And whenever I hear it, I kind of remember that time in the mid-'80s.
Let's play it. Too sure what happened there. We're having a few little problems here with the computer, so we didn't actually say why you had that one in, did we, Ian?
Yeah, just briefly. So that was when we first came over to Melbourne after living in Perth. That was a song that was playing in the mid-'80s. It was just, for some reason, that was the one that stuck in my head. And whenever I hear that, I kind of think of that time in the mid-'80s when we first moved back.
Righto. So now let's start to move it along because we're running well out of time because of that. What made you decide you wanted to be an actor? Because I know you were an actor before you got involved with the board. What made you want to do that?
That's kind that you prefer to classify me that way. Some people may not, but...
Yeah.
Basically, I just always liked the idea of acting from a child, seeing films, etc., you know, and I did drama in high school. When I came out of high school, I took some drama classes. I did a year at the Victorian College of the Arts in their foundation course, and I had a voice coach there that suggested if I really wanted to take it a bit further, I should get involved in a community theatre. So
sounds good. Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses. Why?
When I was taking one of those acting classes, it was at a place in Lennox Street in Richmond. I can't remember the name of the actual facility. I came out one night and I turned my car on and that was playing. And I just sat there for the 10 minutes or whatever it plays and listened to it because it was like something, nothing I'd ever heard before. And
let's listen. We'll be right back. Ian, now, was your first acting job at 18-12? Like, when I say job, let's be honest, nobody gets paid. No. Was it at 18-12?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. My first full play, yes, it was.
Yep. So then, what made you, and I know you've been involved with a number of plays, what made you take the leap from just being a person who goes, and it's not an easy job. I mean, these people put in months and months and months. It's usually 3 months from the time they start their rehearsals till the time the show is finished. What made you decide to make the leap from that into the management of it?
I think it's the same thing with most community groups. I'm sure you probably have it here to some degree, is never volunteer for anything, because you end up doing 10 times more. When I was in a play, I let it slip that my day job involved marketing. And they said, oh, we could use somebody with marketing. And so next thing I knew, I was their marketing manager on the board. And a couple of years later, an opportunity came up for the chairman's role. And because of my business background, they offered it to me. So that's kind of how it happened. So it wasn't really a thought process. It kind of just evolved happened that way.
The Kinks, I'm not like everybody else. Is that something you're saying about yourself?
Maybe, but that wasn't where the memory came from. It's, you know, I guess whether you're into theatre and performing arts or not, I mean, I think there are some shows that, you know, resonate with you that leave a lasting impression. And for me, it's just, one of them is The Sopranos. And I like the depth of character. I like the fact that you've got this mob boss who has panic attacks. You know, it's, yep, everybody is more than one thing. And this song played at the end of one particular episode, and it just always reminds me of that show.
Let's listen. We're talking to Ian Johnson, who's the chairman of the board, 18-12. We've heard a lot about him. So next time you go to 18-12, no matter what he might say, there'll be his influence on the theatre. And I know they've got a show starting up in about another month. What's the name of it, Ian?
It's called Waiting for God.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm not sure I'm waiting for him at all. I don't want to go.
Hopefully it's a long wait.
And they've just done another successful one, and they do about six shows a year, don't you?
Yeah, we do six main shows. We also have a very active youth theatre that does a show. We also have a couple of short play festivals, spoken word. We're a sausage factory of entertainment.
Absolutely. So 1812 is at Rose Street, Upper Ferntree Gully. They're on the website, and their website is?
www.1812theatre.com.au.
And you can always assure it of a great night. And just before I go, I must comment to Ian, because he does, and all these actors, I mean, there's not only the 1812, there are theatres, non-professional, all over Victoria, all over Australia, and nobody gets paid, do they?
No, nobody gets paid. It's a complete volunteer organisation, from the actors to the stage managers, to the lighting and sound people, to the guys that build the set. Everybody does it for the passion.
No one gets paid. Look, it's been fantastic having you along, Ian. We know a bit more about you now. And so when the people walk in the door of 1812, the next show, they may see you working front of house. They may not, but they will know that you're part of, you lead the board that runs 1812.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate your time, mate.
No, thank you for coming. And Tom Mitchin and White Wine in the Sun. Why?
It's just a quirky song that just reminds me about Christmas and what's important about Christmas, which is not the gifts, but being with your family and your friends.
I thought you were going to say you like sitting out in the sun drinking white wine.
That's a story for another time.
I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it. I'm hardly religious. I'd rather dance with the devil than Desmond Tutu, to be honest. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to consumerism, to the commercialization of an ancient religion, to the westernization of a dead Palestinian press ganged into selling PlayStations and beer. But I still really like it. I'm looking forward to Christmas, though I'm not expecting a visit from Jesus. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. Go in for ancient wisdom. I don't believe just cause ideas are tenacious, it means that they're worthy. I get freaked out by churches. Some of the hymns that they sing have nice chords, but the lyrics are dodgy. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to the miseducation of children who in tax-exempt institutions are taught to externalize blame and to feel ashamed and to judge things as plain right or wrong. But I quite like the song. Expecting big presents. The old combination of socks, jocks and chocolates is just fine by me. Cause I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mom. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. You, my
jet-lagged infant daughter, you'll be handed round the room like a puppy at a primary school, and you won't understand, but you will learn someday that wherever you are and whatever you face, these are the people who make you feel safe in this world. My sweet blue-eyed girl. And if my baby girl, when you're 21 or 31 and Christmas comes around and you find yourself 9,000 miles from home, your brothers and sisters and me and your mom will be waiting for you in the sun, drinking white wine in the sun. Darling, when Christmas comes, we'll be waiting for you.